Now, you might like to turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 1 to 8. You can keep it open in front of you, but it'll be on the screen here as we read. So it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 1 to 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That passage that we've read this morning is Paul's final charge to Timothy. It's his encouragement to see the all-sufficiency of Scripture. Not only that it leads us to Jesus as our Saviour, but it's the means of equipping us for every good work, he says in chapter 3 and verse 17. It's his call to follow both the content and the pattern of ministry that Timothy has seen in the ministry of Paul in verse 10 of chapter 3. But above all, it is his call to make the Bible central to all of his ministry. We see that in verse 2, preach the word. Well, as you finish your ministry here among us, Tom, and as together both you and Grace serve in Amazing Grace Community Church, it seemed to me that this final charge to Timothy would be appropriate for this morning. But I want to focus not so much on the what, but on the how. The charge is to preach the word. Make the scripture central to all of your ministry. Have confidence in its sufficiency. Don't wander from its truth. Follow this pattern of ministry, which I hope you too have seen in me. That is the what. But this morning I want us to think a little bit about the how. Because here's what Paul writes in verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That's the how that I want to focus on this morning. With great patience and careful instruction. It struck me that these two could be characters in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Great patience and careful instruction. Pilgrim's Progress is filled with all sorts of interesting characters: Pliable, Obstinate, Worldly Wiseman, Faithful, Mr. Talkative, Giant Despair. Well, I don't think great patience and careful instruction would look out of place among those characters. But if John Bunyan had included them in Pilgrim's Progress, I'm convinced that they would either be twins or a married couple. I couldn't decide which they would be. Because John Bunyan would want you to grasp that these two are always meant to go together. Great patience and careful instruction. When we think of great patience, we may have an image of someone who is placid, laid back, or easygoing. But the word used here literally means restraint of anger. Who would have thought that Timothy or Paul would have had to encourage Timothy by saying, preach the word, but don't get angry. We get angry for all kinds of reasons, don't we? People frustrate our plans. Things don't work out as we had expected. The resources that we'd like aren't available. There are things that we are powerless to change. And that's true not only in life, but also in ministry. So you will need great patience. What other versions of the Bible translate as being long-suffering or of having unflagging and inexhaustible patience. In verse 5, Paul identifies a number of areas where you will need great patience. First, he warns, keep your head in all situations. As I thought about that, we use phrases that refer to the head, don't we? We talk about someone who flipped his lid or blew his top. Keep your head, Paul says. Don't blow your top. Don't flip your lid. Keep your head in all situations. There's so much that can frustrate. Ministry in the life of the church is not like running a business. You don't get to hire people who are specially equipped for particular jobs. And you don't get to fire those who are being ineffective or not as committed as you would like. Rather, the church is like a family. We are who we are, with the gifts and abilities that God has given, not the gifts and abilities that we might like the church to have. And so, like all families, that can be frustrating. They'll frustrate other people in the church as well. And people may want things to be different, and they'll expect that perhaps you can make it different and take the frustration away. They'll be unaware that you're just as frustrated, perhaps even more frustrated than they are. You might want to blow your top or flip your lid. But no, Paul says, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, he says. Hardship comes in all manner of forms. There are simply the normal hardships of life that everyone faces. Financial pressures, family troubles, sickness, grief, uncertainty over the future, concerns for children. But then you will be called to come alongside those who are enduring hardship while you yourselves are experiencing hardship. To strengthen those facing uncertainty while you yourselves face uncertainty. To help those who are struggling while you yourselves struggle. To comfort those who grieve while you yourselves grieve. That is hard. And you will feel at times as though you don't have the strength to endure your own hardships. Never mind helping those who are going through their own struggles. It would be so easy to give up. But Paul's call to Timothy is to endure, to keep going, not to give up. And to do that, you will need great patience. Rather than becoming angry with God or frustrated with others, you will need to trust the God who controls both what is going on in your lives as well as what is going on in the lives of those to whom you minister. During the last year and a half, I discovered an app, TouchNote, which enables you to design your own postcards. Write a message on the back, and then you can have them delivered directly to someone's house. And over the last 18 months, I did that to a number of different people, especially when things were a little bit more restricted. There was a point at which I sent one to Tom and Grace, and I sent them a quotation by Charles Spurgeon, which simply said, "When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you rest your head." Well, I think it took about a week to 10 days before the postcard finally arrived. But the next day, an identical postcard arrived. And the day after that, three postcards, identical, all arrived. I've got the photograph there just to show you. They got five identical postcards from the. I only sent one. I thought this was a message that they needed to hear, but obviously God thought this was a message that they really needed to hear. And Tom and Grace, if I could set up that app so that you received an identical postcard every single morning, reminding you that whatever you face, God is ultimately in control, that he will enable you to endure hardship, and that he will give you the great patience that you need to do it, I would most willingly do that for you. Do the work of an evangelist, Paul says. On our Zoom time, Bible time, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that I had done the Christianity Explored course with a variety of people. A number of those that I did that course with came to the end of that course without putting their trust in Jesus. In fact, being very clear that they weren't going to put their trust in Jesus, they weren't willing to accept the cost of following Jesus. In fact, it happens so regularly that it seemed almost inevitable that if I did Christianity Explored with someone, they would simply turn away from the gospel message. I didn't think the problem was me. I was certain the problem wasn't the material. The problem was that there's a hardness of heart which only God can change. Doing the work of an evangelist is not easy. At least that has been my experience. It's not as simple as sharing the gospel message and immediately someone will trust in Jesus. There will be many who will reject the gospel, who will turn away from Jesus, who will withdraw themselves from you. And the only thing that will enable you to keep doing the work of an evangelist is this thing, great patience. Paul continues, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul seems to be thinking here wider than the public preaching of God's word to the everyday application of God's word to the lives of those under your care. But the principle remains the same, correct, rebuke, and encourage. Sadly, you will find that much of the time when someone is confronted with sinful behaviors or wrong attitudes, rather than recognizing that they are in the wrong, turning away from it and seeking God's help to live differently, they would sooner withdraw from the life of the church, distance themselves from you, and seek out the counsel of those who will affirm the choices that they're making. Whether it's a relationship that they're pursuing, a lifestyle that they're choosing, a grievance they are holding, an attitude they're displaying, or a behavior they're persisting with, the work of correcting and rebuking is rarely welcomed with open arms. And as for the work of encouraging, perhaps you'll be encouraging someone to more regular habits of Bible reading, to be more engaged with their family, to be more considerate of their spouse, to invest their time in a ministry of the church, to develop a gifting that they obviously have. And some will respond positively, but in others the progress may be slow. Very slow. Ridiculously slow. Filled with setbacks and disappointments, so much so that you feel that you have wasted huge amounts of time, time that you could have invested in others. What is the one thing that will enable you to discharge all the duties of your ministry? Only this, great patience. But great patience is not something that's effective on its own. Great patience must be accompanied by careful instruction. It's interesting that the NIV has chosen to translate this one word as careful instruction because it's literally one word. It literally says, with teaching. Why does Paul feel the need to encourage Timothy to preach the word with teaching? Can't we take that as a given? Well, sadly, no. Many of you know Johnny Grant, who pastors the church in Carrigaline. And a number of years ago, Johnny was in Ghana helping with some preaching seminars there, largely to encourage more careful Bible teaching and seeking to counteract the prosperity gospel, which is so prevalent in lots of Africa. On one occasion, he had finished the Bible teaching. He was publicly thanked for his teaching, And then the gathered group were told that now it was time for the preaching to begin. The man who preached next was passionate, loud, and engaging, but said very little from the Bible. He stirred up his congregation. He appealed to their emotions. They responded with loud amens. But what they were hearing was not the careful instruction of the Bible. In fact, the preacher in question contradicted some of what Johnny had just been trying to carefully teach them from the Bible. But in their minds, there was a distinction between the two. There was teaching and there was preaching. And they didn't want the careful instruction of the Bible. They wanted passionate preaching, even if it contradicted the clear message of the Bible. Paul warns Timothy here in verse 3 that the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they would listen to those who told them what they wanted to hear. In fact, they would, verse 4, turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to untruths, to man-made ideas, to false philosophies, to the latest self-help books, to speakers who will boost their self-esteem and tell them that the answer is to be found within themselves. But Timothy must preach the word with teaching, with careful instruction. Because as Philippians writes, preaching the word without teaching is not preaching the word. Need for careful instruction doesn't only take place in the pulpit. It happens in the variety of moments that we spend time with people. When they're struggling with long-term illness or the death of someone they love, the loss of a job, financial struggles, marital problems, trying to cope with depression, struggling with addiction, desperate for a marriage partner, disillusioned about faith, angry with God. These kinds of situations all require careful instruction. They don't need someone to pull the sword of the Spirit from its sheath and swing it around like a child with a heavy sword, unable to support its weight. Much hurt has been caused by throwing around Bible verses that are taken out of context or were unhelpful in a particular situation. Untold damage has been done by giving people false assurances, by making promises on God's behalf, which God himself has never made. As you're all well aware, Perrin's arrival into the world caused quite a storm in the lives of Tom and Grace. Within hours of his birth, discovering that there was a problem with his heart, and then soon after being rushed off to Crumlin Children's Hospital. I remember sitting briefly with Tom at his kitchen table as he rushed around the house trying to put together a bag for Crumlin, simply assuring him that the Lord was near, but he was not as distant as he might feel. I think it was 3 days later that I finally met with Tom and Grace in their room in Crumlin. Grace sent me this photograph last night. When I arrived, I was there to discover that they had been discussing what would Martin say to them when he came. Here were the eager people in training for ministry in the midst of a crisis. What does someone say in a context like that? What assurance would I give? That everything would be okay? That parents' surgery would be successful? Well, it's all too easy to tell people what they want to hear, making promises that God hasn't made, promises that do more damage than good. And a moment like that was a time for careful instruction. It's a time for honesty. None of us knew what the next hours would bring, never mind the next weeks or months. None of us could know that surgery would be successful or not. But we could hold on to the things that we knew to be true. Those things that were absolutely certain. That God is good, even in this broken world. And that whatever happens, God is our faithful companion. Tom and Grace, of you, as you have experienced yourselves, so too you will minister to others who are fearful, who are facing uncertainty, people who would love to know that everything is going to be okay. But that is never a promise that we can give. We need to give the careful instruction of God's word in those moments that God is good, even in a broken world, and that whatever happens, God is our faithful companion. Tom, may God enable you to preach the word with great patience and careful instruction. Tom and Grace, may God grant both of you opportunity to speak his word into the lives of many in Amazing Grace Community Church with great patience and careful instruction. May he enable you to bring both rebuke and correction, even when it isn't wanted. May he enable you to encourage others to lives of faithfulness, even when you are discouraged at their progress. May these twins, or that married couple, you can decide, accompany you in the ministry that lies ahead of you. Great patience and careful instruction. Paul finishes this letter to Timothy with some personal remarks, sending greetings to various people and even expressing his desire for both his cloak and his scrolls. So if Paul can finish with those kinds of remarks, I think it gives me some liberty to do so as well. Tom and Grace, it has been a joy to have you among us here at Westside over the past 6 years. It was a new venture for us as a church, and one that I trust will encourage us to do it again in the future with others. I recall too a throwaway comment that I made at the missions conference about wanting to call with you guys sometime and see what God was doing in your lives and what your desires might be. And I remember calling at Mitchellstown where, yes, Grace was ready, knowing that there was more to this comment than just an expression of concern about your lives. I drive past Handy's Garden Centre with joy as I think about meeting you guys there for lunch and talking about whether this would be a good fit for working with one another. And it really has been. Both Tom and Grace have been such a help, not only to the church here at Westside, but to all one and myself also. And over these past 6 years, we have walked together through the struggles of both life and ministry together and have formed, I trust, friendships that will last far beyond your time here at Westside. And Tom, it has been a joy to share the responsibilities of ministry with you. Recently, the other elders asked me how it has been for me having someone in this role. It has always been a joy to have elders around me to share wisdom and provide care, but there has been a special joy in having a colleague in ministry, which I count a real privilege. This is one of my favourite memories from an MC senior camp in Castle Martyr. I should say that this wasn't our normal attire. We didn't wear this for the week. It was a superhero theme night, just in case you're wondering. Tom, you'll have discovered by now that I am no Superman, as convincing as the outfit might look. But it's definitely time for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle to move on and to take up responsibilities elsewhere. It's our prayer that the time that you spent here at Westside will have shaped your approach to ministry in the future, that you have been better equipped to serve in Amazing Grace Community Church, to help lead and develop the work there at this time, and that what you have heard and seen here would encourage you to endure in a lifetime of ministry. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and for the encouragement that it brings and how it points us to those things which we absolutely need. And I pray for both Tom and Grace that you would help them in the ministry that lies ahead of them to conduct it with great patience and careful instruction. May you use them in the lives of many in Amazing Grace Community Church, and may you use them to reach out from that place into other areas of West Cork. And Father, we pray that the time that they spent here among us would have set within them patterns of ministry that will enable them to endure in a lifetime of ministry. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.